Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom. Amar Shmuel. As we've been discussing over the last few shiurim, Hara, the Mishnah says that Hara is considered Bia, and our sugya now will actually discuss what is Hara. Amar Shmuel, Hara Zu Neshika. Hara means that the man's aver came close to Isamakam. Mashal Adam Shemnech Etzbay Alpiv, similar to when a person puts his finger on his lip, Yevshla Yitcha Kabasar, certainly there's going to be some sort of penetration. Here too, if the aver is put next to that area, there's certainly going to be some minimal penetration, which will already be considered Hara. But as the Noda Yehuda points out, that even though our Gemara, clearly Shmuel is teaching us that the most minimal penetration is considered penetration, it has to be at least Ba'ai Samakayim. If it's not Ba'ai Samakayim, that's not considered Hara, that's not considered any form of Bia at all. However, as the Mefarshim also point out, and we mentioned this in the previous year, even though our Gemara just taught us that it has to be in that area to be considered Hara, that doesn't mean that a man and a woman who aren't married are allowed to have any physical contact, even if it's less than that. Certainly physical contact is Asr, it's Asr Midaraisa. Our Gemara is focused on what is considered Bia. Continues the Gemara. Ki Asr Rabba B'Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gemar Bia B'Shifcha Charufa, as we also learned in the previous year, that a Shifcha Charufa is different than all other situations, since the Torah clearly spelled out by a shifcha charufa the word shifcha zera, so we learned that a shifcha charufa has to have full-fledged bia, that it should be considered that one had relations with a shifcha charufa. So Gemara says, what is considered full-fledged bia? So achnos satara. Maser of sheishes, shifcha zera ein achayiv el abirus hamiruk. The Brisa says that what is considered shifcha zera biras hamiruk. And what does Bias HaMiruk mean? My lav Mirukid. And here we have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to define Mirukid. Rashi defines Mirukid in that there was full penetration and ejaculation. Tosfos says that ejaculation is not required. As soon as there was penetration, full penetration, that's already considered Mirukid. So how could you say that Achnosus HaTorah alone is considered Bia? Here it says that you have to have miruk good. It says, Maraloi, when the Brisa said miruk, it doesn't mean miruk good, it means miruk atara, which is another way of saying achnosus atara. So this Brisa is not necessarily a contradiction to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Kios Rav Dimi, Om Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, however, ha'arroz u'achnosus atara. So here we clearly have a contradiction what Rabbi Yochanan said. According to this version, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hara is Achnos Satara, and in the previous version, he has Achnos Satara as Gemar Bia. And therefore, they asked him, Amle v'horaba b'bachana lo yamahachi. He didn't say this way. Amlu, I shakroi, I ano shakroi. One of us is lying, because Rabbi Yochanan couldn't have said both. Did he say that Achnos Satara represents Hara, or did he say Hara, Achnos Satara represents Gemar Bia? They can't be consistent. There must be a machloikas here, and one of us is not reporting Rabbi Yochanan's opinion correctly. Continues the Gemara. Kiyasu Rabban Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hara zu achnosu satara. Hara is considered achnosu satara. Says the Gemara, Ad Rabba Bachana vadi pligi. This is certainly different than what Rabba Bachana said, because according to Rabba Bachana, achnosu satara is already gemabia. The shail is at the Shmuel Milay Mepolig. Shmuel, that we started today's shiur with, held that Neshika is considered Hara. Here we see that Achnosus HaTorah is considered Hara. So does that mean that they're arguing? Because obviously, as we said earlier, Neshika is a lot before Achnosus HaTorah. Or could we say, Neshika v'ad Achnosus HaTorah Hara Karila? The way to explain the Gemara is as follows. There are three steps. One step is Neshika, the next step is Achnosos HaTorah, and the next step is Mirugid. Mirugid, everybody will agree, is Gemar Biyah. Achnosos HaTorah is the Machloikis. Neshika, Shmuel taught us at the beginning of today's shir, is considered Harah. Now there are two ways of interpreting, because Shmuel never spoke about this explicitly, what he considers Achnosos HaTorah. Does he consider Achnosos HaTorah still in the status of Neshika? That means from Neshika through Achnosos HaTorah is all Harah, and he'll agree that Mirugid is Gemar Biyah. Or perhaps Shmuel says that Neshika is Harah, and Achnosos HaTorah is already considered Gemar Biyah. So since we don't have a clear picture what Shmuel holds, we don't necessarily have a way to say that Shmuel is arguing on Rav Yochanan. On Rav Yochanan, Harah, he clearly holds that Harah is Achnosos HaTorah. Gemar Biyah is Gemar Biyah Mamish Mirak HaGud. Mikan ve'elach, anything before Achnosos HaTorah, Eina El Neshika, is only in the status of Neshika or Potter Lev. And he's Potter or Polagad Shmuel. And he clearly disagrees with Shmuel, who Shmuel holds that the Neshika is already considered Harah. Here we see that this man the Amar holds, Rabbi Yochanan, that Achnosos HaTorah, which is later than Neshika, is only when Harah begins. So we learned in the Mishnah, Echad Amar v'Echad HaGoyim Rekana. The Mishnah taught us that if there was a full Biyah, or there was a partial Biyah, Echad Shogig v'Echad Mezid, Echad B'Oynes v'Echad B'Rotzen, in all circumstances, that will be an effective Biyah for the Yavama to become the Yavam's wife. Says the Gemara, my Kana, what does this mean when there was a weak Biyah? And we'll describe soon what a weak Biyah means. Rav Amar, Kana Lekol. Rav says it's still considered a full-fledged Biyah. V'Shmuel Amar, Lekana El Advarim Hamurim B'Parsha. It's only going to be effective when there was a weak Biyah. It will only be effective for what the Torah explicitly says becomes the Yavam's rights in the Yavama, but not for more. Meaning, Leirish ben Nechsei Achiv, that the Yavam now inherits the estate of the brother who died, Ulapaitre min Yibum, and that she will no longer be a candidate for Yibum. If this new husband dies and he had children, she won't require Yibum. This weak beer will be enough. But, as we'll see clearly in the Gemara, to give her the right to eat truma, given that there was only a weak beer, that will not be enough to allow her to be able to eat truma. Since the Torah doesn't explicitly say that a Yavama after Yibam eats truma, that's why she won't be able to eat it unless a full-fledged beer was done. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. When the Gemara here says that a weak Biyah, according to Shmuel, doesn't make her completely his wife, and according to Rav, it does, there's a fundamental machlekes rishonim. What does a weak Biyah, what does the Gemara mean when it says a weak Biyah? Everybody agrees that if the Biyah was only a Biyah of Shogig and Oynes, Shogig Mezid, and the Miri says even Mezid, that's the definition of a weak Biyah, because there was no intention. That clearly everybody agrees. But some Rishonim want to suggest that what the Gemara here is also referring to is when there was only a Tchilas Biyah. There was only the beginning of a Biyah, only Harah. Rav will consider that a full-fledged Biyah and should be his wife. And Shmuel will say, no, since there was only Harah, it's not considered a full-fledged Biyah and she's not considered completely his wife. So I saw first of all, Karen Ira suggest that this machloikas between the Rishonim, what is the definition of a weak Biyah, is really, he claims, a machloikas of the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Because as we've been discussing, we began today's shiur with that, Harah is considered a Biyah. But how do we know that Harah is considered a Biyah by Yavama? So there's a machloikas Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Bavli, as we learned in yesterday's shiur in Daf Nun Hey Yom Beis, says because we learn Gzeri Shava Biyah Biyah. So what does that tell us? That Harah is a full-fledged Biyah. So when Shmuel speaks about a weak Biyah, says the Karen Ira, the Bavli can't consider that a weak Biyah. The Gemara clearly taught us yesterday that Harah is a full-fledged Biyah. However, how does the Yerushalmi know that Hara is a Bia? Because he says there's a special pasuk by Yibam that Hara is considered a Bia. That doesn't mean that it's really a Bia. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says that Shmuel, not only Shoigig and Oynis and Mazid will be considered a weak Bia, but Hara was also going to be considered a weak Bia. What is the explanation in the Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel? So I saw two very beautiful Pshatim. And they really reflect the Machloikis of the Bavli and Yerushalmi that the Karen Ayer is telling us. According to the Bavli, a weak Bia means that it was done by Shoigig, by Mazid, like the Miri says, Mazid, we learned in Rashi in the beginning of the Perek, means that the Kavana was L'Shem Znus, not L'Shem Yibam. The Klichemd explains the Machloikis. Every time a Yavam does Bia, does Yibam, what does that represent? Does it represent that he's just continuing the brother's marriage? Or does it represent a new marriage? Rav, says the Klichemda, says it represents just a continuation. So since it's only a continuation, it doesn't take a lot to continue. It's already in existence. So therefore, even a weak Bia is Kana, makes her his full-fledged wife. According to Shmuel, the Torah tells the Yavam to marry the Yavama, but it doesn't mean that it's a continuation. It's a new marriage between the Yavam and Yavama. A new marriage requires a proper Bia. That's how the Klichemd explains it. Then I saw another pshat. Rabbi Ganak says this pshat in his Sefer Gan Shoshanim, a beautiful pshat. He says like this. As we've been explaining, what is the purpose of Yibam? The purpose of Yibam is that they should have children. L'hokim shem l'achiv. So Shmuel says, and this is according to the Yerushalmi, if there was only Hara, if there's only Hara, there's not going to be any children from that. There was no Gemar Bia. So that the whole purpose of Yibam is not being accomplished. That's why Shmuel says it's not considered his full-fledged wife. On the other hand, Rav doesn't start analyzing L'hokim shem l'achiv, not L'hokim shem l'achiv. If it's a Bia, it's a Bia, and it's his wife. There's another interesting shaila, a machloikis, Rav Shimon Shkop, and the Shara Yoisha, and the Chazon Ish. Our Gemara is saying that according to Shmuel, and this all the Rishonim agree to, that if there was only Shoigig or Mezid Bia, it's going to be considered a weak Bia. So what will be the halacha, as these two Gedolei Yisrael, if the husband had a full-fledged kavana, he wanted to do a proper Bia L'Shem Mitzvah Yibam, but the Yavama did not have kavana. What will be the halacha? Will that be considered, according to Shmuel, a weak Bia or not? Chazon Ish says yes. Shmuel says that if the Bia is not done right, it's a weak Bia and has its limitations. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, no. Rav Shimon Shkop says that if the husband, if the Yavam had the right intention, the right kavana, the right intention, the fact that the Yavama did not, doesn't make a difference. And he says a beautiful explanation for his position. Beautiful. He says in every transaction, every time a husband marries a wife, there are two parts to that. It's somewhat of a transaction. There are two parts to that. There's what's called rotzen, and there's what's called kavona. And we needed to define it in English. Rotzen means consent, and kavona means intent. He says, in the situation of Yibam, there's no need for rotzen. There's no need for consent. Why? Because a svar that the Gemara said so many times that we learned, Isha hiktu lemin ha-shamayim. His consent is not necessary. So there's no need for rotzen, not on the husband's part, not on the Yavam's part, not on the Yavam's part. Kavana, why is kavana required? Why is intent required? Because a maisabiyah without kavana is not a maisabiyah. But in a maisabiyah, who does the maisa? The man, not the woman. She's passive. So that's why his kavana is required to make the maisabiyah into a full-fledged maisabiyah. She, who's not being the active participant, so she doesn't have to have kavana. And rotzen, she certainly doesn't have to have, and that's what Rav Shimon and the Shara Yoisha says, that even Shmuel, who says that a weak bia is ineffective, will only be speaking about a situation where he had the lack of kavana, not when she had the lack of kavana. Then the Ritva also discusses, when Shmuel here says that it's not kaina, if there was a weak bia, what does Shmuel mean? Does Shmuel mean midoy raisa? Or midrabbanim. Machlokes Rishonim, how far Shmuel takes his position. So now the Gemara begins to qualify and analyze this machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Min a nesuin, if the couple was married, had a full-fledged marriage, and now the husband died, there's no question that even if the Yavam did a weak beer, even Shmuel will agree that that would be sufficient for her to be able to continue eating truma. She was always eating truma, so she certainly may continue eating truma. Keep pligim and erisin. And we need to say a word of introduction here. The halach is, we know, this we've discussed, that a Jewish marriage is done in two steps. Erisin and nesuin. Midaraisa, if a kayin marries a woman, just erisin, she's really allowed to eat truma. Chazal, Gemara Masechet Ksuvos, say the Chazal said they don't let her eat truma because of two reasons. One reason is because she only is an Arusa, so she's still living in her parents' home. Her parents aren't Kohanim. She's going to bring the truma to her parents' home and give it, share it with her family. They're not allowed to eat truma. They're not Kohanim. Another reason is that we're concerned with Shem Simpoin, that when the soon will be done, the person that does nesuin may see that she has a mum, she's blemished, she has some sort of a defect, and say this was a mekach tos. And then it turned out she was never allowed to eat the truma. So the discussion here is where the couple only had erisin. Rav Amar Achelus, the Rabbi Rachmana, be a shagi kamezit. Even though the couple originally only had erisin, the Torah tells us when the yavam does be in the yavama, even though they only, how his brother only had erisin, we've learned so many times that still is a requirement for Yibam. So we have to have, that makes her his full-fledged wife, and now she's allowed to eat truma, even if there was a weak beer. The Shmuel disagrees. He says, Ki Rabbi Rachmana, what did the Torah say the Yavam has the ability to do? Whatever the first husband had the ability to do, the second husband had the ability to do, provided there was only a weak beer. And therefore, since the first husband didn't give her truma, because they were only erisin, the second husband will not give her truma if there was a weak beer. However, if the first husband wasn't giving her truma, and she had now only a weak beer, that won't give her the right to eat truma. And says the Gemara, Vaza Shmuel Tamein. Shmuel is consistent with his opinion. Dom Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Kol Shabal Machel. If the husband had the ability to give it to eat, then that continues Yav Machel, even if there was only a weak beer. The Kol Shein Bal Machel. But if she wasn't eating truma by the first husband, and now only had a weak beer, Yav Ein Machel, she can't eat based on this weak beer truma. Meisvei asked the Gemara. There's a brisa. The brisa says, "Bas Yisrael pikachas." If there's a regular, normal Jewish girl, she nes asked l'koyin pikeach that had erusin to a koyin pikeach, v'lo hispik l'koyin soyach nescharish. And unfortunately, this man became a deaf mute. So there's a few halachas to articulate. One halacha to articulate is that, and we've discussed this many times. As far as the Gemara's viewpoint, a cherish, a deaf mute, is considered like a shaita. He has no das. Another halacha, as we just said before, that every woman, when she has erisin, midarabbanan is not allowed to eat truma. A woman who's married to a cherish is not midarabbanan not allowed to eat truma. It's only erisin. It's midaraisa. Because erisin is a kinyan. Erisin is a business transaction, so to speak. And a cherish who doesn't have das, doesn't have the ability to make erisin. Nesuin, which is really based on just consummating the marriage, a cherish does have the ability to do. But Chazal said that if a woman even had nesuin to a cherish, she's not allowed to eat truma, if the cherish was a kayin, because we make a gzera, nesuin or to erisin. But erisin, we just explained, she's not allowed to eat. Midaraisa, Chazal said even by nesuin. So what happened here was as follows, again. She was a bikayach, and her husband was a bikayach. However, and they made erisin for his particular. He became a cheresh before the nesuin. So as we just explained, the wife, the nesu of a cheresh, doesn't get to eat truma. Mess. Now this cheresh died. The nafal of neyavim cheresh. And her brother-in-law, who's doing Yibam, is also Nabuchadnezzar, a Chelis. Now she's allowed to eat. makes the Braisa comment. Ubezu yofer koyach hayavam mikoyach habal. Here we find that the yavam has more power than the husband. The husband didn't give her the ability to eat truma. The yavam is yes giving her. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rav. Rav's understanding is gevaldik, because Rav says it doesn't make a difference how weak the yavam's beer is. The yavam always gives his wife to eat truma. El Shmuel, the Shmuel says that the yavam only could be as strong as the husband. Here the husband didn't give a truma, so how could the yavam? El Shmuel kasha, Amulach Shmuel. So Shmuel tells you this is the way to interpret the brayso. Aim hachiv lahispik l'kain sa'ech nischarish. If the husband did not make nesuin till he became a cherish, ain't a chels b'truma, so she's not going to allow to eat truma. And if the yavam marries her, she also will not be able to eat truma. But what happens if there was a different situation? Konas ve'echkach niskarish. The husband, Baruch Hashem, was well. He made erusin, he made nesuin, and then Nebuchadnezzar became a cherish. So she was already eating truma. A chalas, because she was married to a 100% fine person. Meis v'nafel lefnei yavam cheresh. Now the husband died, and she forced to give him to a bron who was a cheresh, a cheles. Since she was eating by her first husband, she could eat by the second husband. That's the case that the Brice is referring to, and that's consistent with Shmuel's opinion. However, ask the Gemara, if that's what the Brice means, if that's what Shmuel's telling us the Brice means, we have a problem. The Brice says that the yavam is better than the husband. He's no better. He's equal. She ate by the husband, and she ate by the yavam. Umay bezu, what does the Brice mean that the yavam is better than the husband? So the Gemara says a beautiful explanation. Dilu baal cheresh mikara loicheles. Why was she eating by the husband? Because when she became the suah to the husband, he was fine. Why would have been the din if he was not fine when they had the suin? And she would not be allowed to eat. The only reason she's eating is because when they got Nisuin, he was fine. However, the Yavam, even though at the moment of Yibum, he's a Cheresh, Mikara, he's at this moment a Cheresh, still Achla. That's what makes the Yavam, that's what the Braisa means when it says that the Yavam has more power than the husband. Vikadamri, and there's another way of interpreting the Machlaikis of Rav and Shmuel. Mina Erisin, the Rakaloy Achla. If all the Yavam and the Yavama had was Erisin, and that it was a weak beer, even Rav will agree that she can't eat Truma. She didn't eat when she was married, so how could she start eating now? Keep pligim and nesuin. The machlokes is, if they had in the first marriage, a full-fledged marriage, a nesuin, and now it was a weak beer. Rav says she continues to eat. She was eating before, and now she continues to eat. She doesn't eat. Because why? Ki Rabbi Rachmana, as we began this year, Ki Rabbi Rachmana, be Shaygi Gilmezid, when did Torah say that a weak beer is adequate? Only Ludvam Hamurim Pasha, only to what's said explicitly in the Pasik that the Yavam and the Yavam become married for. Avul Chamili, Truma, which is not mentioned in the Pasha, given that there was a weak beer, Shmuel will say, even though they had the suin in the first marriage, Roy, that will not give her the right to eat truma. Ask the Gemara, how could Shmuel say this? V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, kol shabam machel, if she was eating by the husband, yavam machel, she continues eating by the yavam. Answers the Gemara, you know what Shmuel meant in that comment? Eimer, kol shabia shabam machel, just like you need a good beer to make the husband and wife, that type of beer, yavam achaba, then if there was a good beer, then she could eat truma by the yavam. However, the kol beer she ain't about machaba, if on the other hand there was a weak beer between the husband and wife, and that would not let her become a wife of her, similarly, that ain't a yavam machaba, that will not give her, the yavam, the ability to give it to eat truma. Meisvei, ask the Gemara again from this braisa. But now this braisa is a kashi, even on Rav. It says in the Braisa, Bas Yisrael Pikachas, Shnasas L'Koyim Pikeach, if a Bas Yisrael married, had Erison with a Koyim, V'lehispik L'Koyim Sarach Shnascharish, and he never became a Cherish before the Nesuin, so as we said, a Cherish's wife, Einon Echelas. If the Nesuin was after, before, while he was still a Cherish, she can't eat Truma. Mes, if he passed away, V'naf L'Fnei Yavam, Cherish, and Abram was a Cherish, Echelas, then she can't eat. Ubezu yafa kayach yavam mikayach baal. But now we have a question. Even Rav agrees that if she did not eat by the first husband and had a weak beer, the yavam can't give her to eat. So here, the first husband was a cheresh, she wasn't eating truma by him. The second husband is a cheresh, so by definition he has a weak beer. So how could even the brisa be consistent with Rav? How could the brisa say that the yavam will give her truma? So says Bishlam l'Rav. Rav has a way of answering the brisa, of interpreting the brisa. K'mitaras mikara, like Shmuel explained it before, that the brisa is not referring to a situation that the cheresh made nesuin while he was already a cheresh. He only made a nesuin after he was a cheresh. So she was eating truma. That's why she could continue eating by the yavam. Ella was Shmuel kasha. But how will Shmuel interpret this brisa? According to Shmuel, even if there was nesuin by the first marriage, if the second beer is a weak beer, she can never eat truma. And here, by definition, the second beer is a weak beer because he's a cheresh. Says the Gemara kasha. That kasha remains according to Shmuel. So I saw the Ritva says, well, we've said this klal many times, that sometimes the Gemara asks the question and says the word tiyufta. Sometimes the Gemara says the word kasha, and it means it's a kasha, but it's not the end of the world. There's the answer to the kasha, even though the Gemara doesn't say it. Why, says the Ritva, does our Gemara say it's only kasha and Shmuel? Why doesn't it say it's a tiyufta? So says the Ritva, beautiful vart. He says, this braisa obviously is not such an authoritative braisa. Because even Rav had to reinterpret the braisa. When is a braisa a source for a good question? When the braisa, according to one shita, is a great proof or no problem, and the other shita has a problem with it. But here, even according to Rav, we had to reinterpret the braisa. A braisa that everybody has to manipulate is not such a big problem if it blibes a kasha on Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Bas Yisrael pikachas shnas ars l'koyin pikeach. A Bas Yisrael had erusin to the Kohen, who was fine. However, the Nesuin, he was already a Cherish. So as we learned in the previous Shtikl Gemara, Einoy Cheles, she can't eat Truma if Nesuin was done after he was a Cherish. Like we explained, the Gzeres Chazal, Nesuin Cherish, Otay Rusin Cherish. However, Noy Loi Ben, if they have a child, so even though her nesuin was with a cheresh, and she's not allowed to eat based on that nesuin, here a cheles. Why? Because of her son, the Kohen. Mesa ben. Now Nebuch, this son dies. What's going to be the halacha? Once she started eating, as we'll see, she continues. The chomayim ein cheles. She may not eat. My tamid, Reb Nosson. What does Reb Nosson say? That the son is not here, and she still could continue eating the truma. Omer rabba, hol shekvar ochla. Once she began eating, she could continue eating. Amr Abaya asks Abaya to him, if that's your reasoning, El Ma'ata, if you're going to say that there's a concept, that once she began, she continues, El Ma'ata, Bas Yisrael, Shenisis L'Koyen, what's going to be the halacha? If a Bas Yisrael got married to a Koyen, and they didn't have any children, Umisle, and then her husband Nebuch dies, is the halacha Teichel, that she continues eating Chuma, Shekvar Ochla, because we'll say a concept that since she ate before, she could continue eating? Obviously it's not. El Kivin de Misle, since her husband the Kohen died, Pakalei Kedushasei, that marriage is over, and she can't eat Chuma based on it. Hachinami, similarly here, Kivin de Misle, once the child dies, Pakalei Kedushasei Minei. So why is she eating? El Amar Reb Yosef, so Reb Yosef has a whole new Pshat and Reb Nosson. Kesav Reb Nosson, different than we've been learning till now. Till now we've been explaining in today's shir that if a woman had nesuin with a cheresh, that doesn't give her the right to eat truma if he's a kohen. Reb Nosson disagrees. He holds nesuin cheresh machilim b'truma. If there's nesuin, since a cheresh is able to do nesuin, because nesuin just requires bia, so once there's nesuin, she is allowed to eat truma. V'loy gezrin nesuin cheresh at the kedusha cheresh. And we don't make the gzeir that I spoke about earlier, that since he can't do erusin, even when the sun, we don't let her eat truma. Omer Abaya asks Abaya, in the hachon noili ben lamali, we said that why she allowed to eat truma? Because they had a son. What does that have to be if they had a son? In the hachon noili ben lamali, she's allowed to eat truma according to Reb Nosson, because according to Reb Nosson, the wife, the nesua of a cheresh, is allowed to eat truma. So why does Reb Nosson need the son to be born? Answers the Gemara Mishum Rabbanan. You're right. According to Rav Nosson, even if a son wasn't born, should be allowed to eat the truma. Why did the Braisa speak about a case that a son was born? To tell us the Rabbanan's opinion. That Rabbanan don't allow the Nesun of a Cherish to give a eat truma, but the son they agree with. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, for lift Rabbanan liberation. So as soon as the Rabbanan say that somebody who's Nesuah Tacherish doesn't get to eat truma, and Rav Nosson was saying disagrees with that, why did Rav Nosson right away argue? Answers the Gemara, Shavakla Rabbana Adam Messiah Messiah. Rav Nosson was a gentleman. He let the Rabbanan finish what they had to say, Zahad Palagalayu, and then he disagreed. So actually, Rav Nosson disagrees with Rabbanan on two counts. He disagrees that the Rabbanan hold Nesui, it all emanates from one. According to Rav Nosson, Nesui Cherish allow a woman to eat Truma, and according to Rabbanan, it doesn't. That's why Rav Nosson doesn't need a child, and Rabbanan do need a child. So I saw the Shomer Tzeir Balocha asks a very simple question. Is all of a sudden we find Tanoim that are being gentlemen. They let the other person finish their comment. We already learned a good part of Shas together, Baruch Hashem. It's not always the way we find in Shas that somebody didn't, one Tana didn't interrupt the other Tana. All of a sudden they're not interrupting. So he says a very nice teretz. He says, many times, that's what all Shas is about, we find disagreements. But sometimes two Tanoim disagree, but one Tana understands the opinion of the other Tana. He may not agree, he may have other rayas and other sources, but that doesn't mean he doesn't understand the other Tana's source. Sometimes the disagreement is so strong, I just can't agree with what you're saying. It doesn't make any sense. When one Tana understands the other Tana's opinion, he lets him finish what he has to say. When one Tana just can't accept what he's saying, it's just wrong, I can't let you continue. So he interrupts. Rav Nosson and Al Gemara understood what the Rabbanan hold. He may not agree with them, but he understood their opinion, and that's why he let them finish. However, ask the Gemara, so if that's the case, why didn't he let them finish all the way? If we're saying that Rav Nosson is being a gentleman, so we find, if we look at the Braisa, that the Braisa first speaks about the Cherish, if she, and then the Braisa speaks about Noilet Ben. If we're saying Rav Nosson's allowing the Rabbanan to finish their opinion, he should have let them talk about Noilet Ben. And they should say that if the son Rachman Tzlon dies, she stops teeth. And then he should have began his speech. If we're saying that he's letting the Rabbanan finish, that remains a kasha. There's a very interesting shaila that I saw the Or Simeach asks. According to Rabbanan, she's married to a Cherish, she's in a Nesuah to a Cherish, she can't eat Truma. They have a child, she can, as long as the child is alive, no question she could eat Truma. What would be the avloch if that child is a Cherish? Do the Rabbanan mean a child gives an ability to eat Truma, no matter what he is? Or, if the child is a Cherish, he's no better than his father. And if his father doesn't give it ability to eat, how could he give it ability to eat? Continues the Gemara. The Kenabalach Mikol Harayas, if somebody has relations with any of the Rayas, as we learned in the Mishnah, they will be done Aveira, they'll become Pasul, etc. There's one word of introduction that we have to say. Actually, the Gemara is going to be quite explicit about it as we get into the Sugya, but we need to understand it before. If a woman, Rachmana Litzlan, is raped, a wife is raped, there's a very big difference if she's married to a Yisrael, or she's married to a Kohen. If she's married to Yisrael, given that she was raped, her husband could remain with her husband. If she's married to a Kohen, she can't remain with the husband. We'll see the source for it in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, interesting Shaila. Amram, Ham Mosa Amalon Rav Sheshes, the following halacha was taught us by Rav Sheshes, when Hiru Lainayim Misnisen, and our eyes became clear, it became obvious that Rav Sheshes' decision is correct by learning our Mishnah. What will be the halacha? Eshish Yisrael Shenensa, does the wife of Yisrael that got raped, Af Bishim Teres Lebala, so as we just said, she's allowed to go back to her husband. What happened to her husband dies or divorces her, and now she wants to get remarried? Is she allowed to remarry a Kohen? A Kohen is not allowed to live with a woman that was raped. But when she was raped, she wasn't his wife. Says Rav Sheshes, psula kuhuna. She becomes pasul to the Kohen. But says the Gemara, Tana Tuna. Our Mishnah, says the Gemara, clearly indicates that that's the din. Because our Mishnah said, V'kena bo'alachs mikol arayis ha'muris b'toira, if somebody has relations with one of the rayis, whether it was b'shayig or b'mezit, ba'oinus or b'rotzin, under all circumstances, oy psulis. In those cases, she becomes posel. My v'chein, what does the v'chein mean? Doesn't mean, lo yishna b'shayig, lo yishna b'mezit, lo yishna b'oinus, lo yishna b'rotzin, v'ktani posel, that she becomes permanently disqualified. So we see, and like Tosfos explains the Gemara beautifully, where is shayig and oinus and mezit and rotzin relevant? It's relevant by an eishes ish, because that's where we made a difference, if she did it willingly or was raped. And the Mishnah is saying, Pasla. So we see that once a woman, even though she was raped, she becomes Pasla, permanently disqualified. Says the Mara, Loi. My V'chein. When the Mishnah says V'chein, it's going on a Hara. That in all circumstances, as we've been discussing in the last few Shurim, Hara is considered a full-fledged Bia. Ask the Gemara. Hara the man. And again, this is the way Tosfos and Aruch Haner explain the Gemara. Ilay Medarois. It were telling me that just like by Yavama, her raw is considered a bia, so too by all other rayas, her raw is considered a bia. Ask the Gemara, lememra the rayas yalpinim Yavama, does that mean to say that we're learning the aloch of a rayas from Yavama? Adirabba, as we learned in the previous year, Yavama yalpinim rayas. How do we know that her raw is considered a bia by Yavama? Because since it's a bia by all rayas, as we learned from Nida, that it's considered a bia, so that's how we know everywhere else it's a bia. So our Mishnah, when it says v'chein, that we're learning arayas from Yavama, can't be for that thing. Dika ra, because the main halacha that a ra is considered a bia, is by arayas ksiv. Elamai v'chein, what does v'chein mean? A shloi kedarka, that we learned that the bia shloi kedarka of Yavama, we spoke about it earlier, is considered a bia, and now we're saying that we're learning the arayas, that by all arayas, if there was a bia shloi kedarka, it's considered there was a bia. So again, how are we defining our Mishnah? That we're saying that just by, like by Yavama, shloi kedarka is considered a bia, v'chein, so too by all other arayas. Says the Gemara, that can't be pshat in the Mishnah. Adirabba, ikka mishkevei isha b'arayas ksiv. Where do we know that a shloi kedarka bia is considered a bia? Because the Torah by Arayas uses the words mishkevei, a plural, to teach us both kedaka and shloi kedaka. So our Mishnah can't be saying that I'm learning Arayas from Yavama. If anything, the opposite is truth. Elamai v'chein, what does the Mishnah mean with chein? A shloi kedaka, the chayv ilavin. Yes, a chayv ikaris, we have the pasuk of mishkevei isha. How do we know that even by chayv ilavin, shloi kedaka is considered a bia? That we learn from Yavama. So if so, we don't have a proof to Rav Sheshes' din. Because Rav Sheshes said that V'chein was coming to teach us that once the woman had a bia, even be'onus, even if she was forcibly violated, she becomes posel. That's not what the Mishnah is necessarily teaching us. The Mishnah may be teaching us that just like a bia shloi kedarka is a bia by Yavama, so too is it a bia by all chayv ilavin. So even though Rav Sheshes' din, we don't have a proof from a Mishnah, Rav Sheshes still considers his opinion correct. Amar Rava. Now Rava makes a comment. Eishes Kohen Shenensa. If a woman, if a wife of a Kohen was raped, Bala Loika Lemishim Zainam. If her husband has relations with her, it's considered she's a Zainam. What is the definition of a Zainam? It's different than we always define a Zainam. We usually define a Zainam as a prostitute. What we're going to be learning in the next Shiurim, a Zainam doesn't mean a prostitute. A Zainam means a person, a woman who had a relationship that she wasn't supposed to have. And what the Gemara is saying here is that and the Kohen's Nala marry Zayna, this woman who was raped had a relationship that, as far as Kohanim is concerned, she's not supposed to have, and that's why her husband gets Malthus. So there's a beautiful vart from Rav Reuven Bengis. We know that normally, if a man and a woman have a prohibited relationship, they both get punished. He says a chiddush. He says that, let's say, a wife of a Kohen had relations, was raped, and now has relations with her husband, the Kohen. Only the Kohen will get Malchus, will get a punishment, not the wife. Why? He says a beautiful svara. He says, if the punishment is because the Torah tells all people don't have this relationship. Anida, the Torah talks to men and women. So then they're both candidates for punishment. The Isser here is not because of her, it's only because of him, because he's a Kayin. So therefore only he gets the punishment, not her. And he says Al Gemara is a proof. Because look at Al Gemara. It says, Eishes Kayin Shenensa, Bala like Allah. Only he gets Malkus. What about her? So he says, because she is not a Kayin, she doesn't get the Malkus. Bala like Allah Mishim Zayna. Ask the Gemara, Mishim Zayna in, does she only get Malkus because of Zayna, Mishim Tamalai, not because of Tumah? The Pasuk says that such a woman is considered Tamei. Eima af Mishim Zayna. Correct. She has the shame Zayna, she has the shame Tumah. Machlekes Rishonim, and that would cause her to get two sets of Malkus or one set of Malkus. Moser of Zera, the Pasuk says regarding a woman who was accused by her husband that she had a relationship with a man. Vihilai Nitpasa, and she, that relationship she had was because she was not violated. That's when she's a surah, she's not allowed to marry, she's not allowed to remain with her husband. Hanuspasa, if it was a rape, Muteris, she can remain with her husband. V'yesh lo chacheres, but what the Torah is teaching us is there's another situation that after Bisha Nitpasa, that even though she was raped, a surah. Vezazu, Vezhis Koyim. Ask the Gemara, V'lava ba mechala say. This is not an explicit lav. We're only learning that a wife of a Koyim is not allowed to go back to her husband if she was raped, because we're extrapolating it from Mitzvah Saseh. So how could you say that she gets Malkus? Alav Habo Mechlal Asay only has the status of an Asay. Says Rava, this is the way we have to understand it. Hakol Hoy Bechlal Zayna. Every woman that had a relationship with a man who's not her husband is considered a Zayna. Kishepard Lecha Kosov Gabi Eishes Yisrael. When the Torah tells us that the wife of a Yisrael is not considered a Zayna, if she was raped, she's mutter. What it means to say is that she is not a Zayna, because the Torah gave her a special dispensation. Mechlal, the Eishes Kayin, they didn't get this special dispensation, because the Kaimer Kaimer remains a Zayna, and that's why she gets Malkus. Vikadamri, another version of what Rava said. Amar Rava, Eishes Kayin Shenensa, if the wife of a Kayin was raped, Bala Loika Lemishim Tumah. The husband gets Malkus because she's Tamei. Ask the Gemara, very similar piece of Gemara. Mishum Tamei, Mishum Zayna Loi. Is she only considered Tamei, not a Zayna? Amar, but Oinus like Krina Bezayna, doesn't mean to say that if she's raped, she doesn't have the status of a Zayna. Masar Rav Zera, ask Rav Zera, Vihila Nitpasa Surah. Her Nitpasa, if she wasn't raped, she'd be also to go back to her husband. If she's raped, she's allowed to go to her husband. V'yesh lo cheres, however, there's another situation. Sha'afish in Nitpasa, even though she was raped, a surah. V'zu eshes koyin. V'lab habo mechlal asay. And if it comes extrapolated from an asay, it's only an asay. So why does she get Malkus? Omerova. Ha'akol hoi bechlal achrei yeshua tamah. Kishepar lucha kosef. When the Torah explicitly told us, gabesh yisroh v'hilu Nitpasa, a surah. Her Nitpasa muteris. That if she was raped, she goes back to her husband. Mechlal Desh is Kayin, Kedekai Mekaima, she does have the status of Tomei. So just to review, and then use this for a very important Shaila. What are the difference between the two versions of Rava? According to the first version of Rava, a woman who had relations with a man who's not her husband, even if it was a rape, is considered a Zayna. And certainly Tomei. According to the second version, she's only Tomei, but she's not a Zayna. Now, there's a very interesting Shaila. We know that halacha is that if a woman has an adulterous relationship, she's not allowed to remain with her husband. Os lebal, vos leboil. What's going to be the halacha if a woman was raped and her husband's a kohen? So she can't go back to her husband. That's what we're learning. A kohen's, will she be allowed to marry the person who raped her? If she wants to. Is she allowed to marry him? If it's a shot that she's a Zayna, so Zayna wasn't said only to Kahanim. If it's a question of Tumah, that it may be us or even to the boil, even though it's only us labal, it'll also be us labal. There's also a very interesting chiddush from Rabbi Chaim. We're saying that if a woman, Rechmon Litzlon, was raped, she's not married to a kohen, she could go back to her husband. So he says a few interesting dinim. He says, let's say we're not sure if it was willingly or not unwillingly. He says, even though she wouldn't be chayv misa, because we can't give a person misa unless we're sure that it was berotzen, she wouldn't be allowed to go back to her husband. So he says a very big chiddush. What would be the halacha if there was a woman that was captured by men, and they're threatening to kill her, and she thinks that if she'll give herself over to them, she'll be able to appease them, and she did that. So even though it's certainly not considered a B of an Asian sister, she's chayiv misa, she was in a life and death situation, you can't call that an oinus either, because it was at her initiative, and he says under those circumstances, she would not be allowed to go back to her husband Israel.
Lack of sugar? Come back.